Welcome to Simple Life Radio, stories for the adventurous at heart. I'm your host, Cynthia Fernandez. And this hour, we are going to focus on the real life stories of real people and their experiences here on the Central Coast of California. The show is born from a love of storytelling, and a desire for a deeper connection between all living things, one person at a time. If you would like to see archive shows, or I should say listen to archive shows, we have some archive shows on YouTube. The channel is Simple Life Radio, one word. Also, podbean.com. Simple Life Radio has probably the most of the archives of the show. And if anyone would like to email me, either to suggest a story or perhaps a guest, you can email me at simplelifeccf@gmail.com. Our guest today is David Martin, a co-author in the best-selling book, Contagious Optimism. He's also the founder of Marin, the Hiking Club, and a comedian, I just found out. 20 years, David has been the CEO of Index Strategies Wealth Management, and he enjoys sharing his positive experiences, whether it's any one of those roles. So I'm really excited to have David Martin on the show today. He will be at the bookstore doing a book signing later this month, which we'll talk more about in a moment. But I think the world needs a little more optimism now more than ever. So welcome, David. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And, you know, you're a firm believer in focusing on positive aspects. I wonder what you would say to someone who thinks that that is not being realistic or just putting your head in the sand. What do you say to that?
Well, the main concept of the book is, you know, showing people stories from people just like them, where they focused on positive forward thinking. And, you know, it's just as much energy to focus on the positive as it is the negative. And our author, David Mezepel, has been teaching me since childhood, and all the, you know, everybody involved, that just stay positive and focus on positive forward thinking, and just about everything you're going through, you can get through and get to a much better life.
Now, is that similar to denial, or is it different than that?
Well, for me, denial is not understanding what's really happening.
Mm.
And, you know, denial is not, you know, for somebody who smokes cigarettes and they say they're going to quit and they don't quit, they're in denial of, you know, quitting and their own values. So for me, when things are tough, it's not the best feeling. I mean, we all love to sit at the pool at the Ritz-Carlton, but that's it's not reality.
Not every day.
Not every day.
Well, I think that's a really good point. You know, there's a lot going on in the world. Not that there isn't always, but I know a lot of people who are challenged with different aspects of their practical life. And I know some people who really try to stay focused on the positive at the compromise, I guess I would say, of the whole total picture. And so it's clarifying for me for you to create that distinction, that it's what you're suggesting in this contagious optimism is really a focus on what's possible. Is that right?
It's true. I mean, you look at how many people around you weren't born in America and they came here, the land of opportunity.
Hmm.
So, I mean, if you were, you know, in some of these countries like Syria, you know, optimism is your only way out. You know, and for us not to have optimism, you know, all you had to do is turn on BBC World News and that'll get you off the couch.
That's a good point, David. So can you list out, I'm sure you can, some advantages of optimism?
Well, I'll go back to what my story is about in the book is, you know, I wanted to have one of my, you know, scariest moments of my life become a story when Dave Mezepel came to me and said, would you like to write for my book? You know, and he said, you know, everybody has a story, Dave, and what's yours? And, you know, back in You know, I grew up well. I grew up on an acre and a half in Connecticut. My dad was the provider type. So he would go to work and focus on work. Wasn't much of an adventurer. That's why as an adult, I have a hiking club and love to be out in nature. But he always provided, so life wasn't a financial struggle for me. And in the year 2000, I don't know if any of your listeners were in the stock market, but March of 2000 was not fun. And for me as a wealth manager of my friends and family and this new wealth I had made for myself, it was a very unpleasant experience to where I went from almost a millionaire to owing money and didn't have any clients. Friends were very upset with me, and it was a hard time, a very hard time. And, you know, I just dug deep and got the optimism together that, you know, what I did before, I can do again in a more productive way and not make the same mistakes again, but focus on what I did well and my strengths and be optimistic that it can work again. And now here it is, you know, 14 years later, and I have a very successful wealth management company, and I just recently hired a client to work with me, and we're having a blast. So, I mean, it wasn't easy, but a lot of hard work and, you know, having the universe behind me and working hard and, you know, teaming up with the right people and learning what I can to get ahead, and it paid off. And I think optimism and hard work together pay off.
If you're just joining us, we're here in studio with David Martin, a CEO of Index Industries Wealth Management. He's also a contributing author to the book titled Contagious Optimism. You know, David, you're right. As I'm listening to your story, I'm also thinking about how optimism is really a break from stress.
It is.
And so, you know, anyone hearing my voice out there, if you're old enough to listen to talk radio, you know how stress can affect the chemistry in your body, your musculature, your mental faculty, and certainly your outlook on life, your perception of what you're actually experiencing. And it sounds, David, like you were speaking about your experience, however, you know, severe, was really a focus on, okay, what did I do right? What I knew how to do, then I can do it again. And let's just focus on learning from the mistakes and moving forward in a really optimistic way.
Yeah, my big joke is when I was in eighth grade, I was in wood shop, and the teacher was missing three fingers on his right hand. And I thought, I really hope he lost all three in one incident. Or there's somebody who's showing proof that he doesn't learn by his mistake.
Oh, that's a great perspective. I don't know if I'd want that for my teacher. So my question is, contagious optimism, how did you or how did David arrive at that name? Contagious optimism. Is it contagious?
Well, I have to admit, David Mezepel, he's contagious, his optimism. I mean, he's had a life, you know, similar to mine, where he's had very strong moments financially and, you know, as a businessman, and many humble moments. And, you know, he's always stayed optimistic, and he's coined a term called ripping psyched. And he always asks people if they're ripping psyched. And I always think that term when I'm in one, you know, my worst moments. I'm always thinking of him walking up to me with a vodka soda in his hand, asking me if I'm ripping psyched when we're out boating. So it gets me through those tough times.
It's good to have those reference points, and certainly to have models of really constructive, positive behavior. Totally, I agree. How do you use contagious optimism for practical things like finding a parking space, or maybe doing a cold call, or responding to rejection?
You ask the best questions.
I'm
do you
just
all
curious.
Are you all listening to these awesome questions? All three of those. So, yeah, I think that, you know, there's a saying out there that says it's not stress that kills you, it's how you deal with stress that kills you. And I think that always maintaining a positive attitude is very difficult, but digging deep and believing that the future is bright is better than thinking the future is not bright. Makes it more difficult to do anything.
Well, it's interesting that you should raise that, because one of my new dear friends, Nancy Mellon, is a global storyteller, and I've had her on the show a couple of times. But it's interesting, she uses storytelling as a way to, actually as a healing tool, as a way to help people heal. And she insists that when people create a story, that they have not only the challenges or obstacles in the story, but also an unforeseen positive helper or intervention, something that you just would never count on, something that you don't know, but it's good, that comes into the picture. And as I work with her, I start to notice that that really is life, don't you think, David? I mean, you're going along, everything is either status quo, or maybe you're having really heavy trouble, and then something out of the blue comes along and assists.
Definitely.
And if, you know, I think to your point, if you're not thinking that way, are you going to recognize it when it happens?
Exactly. I think for many people, they have to, you know, we watch TV, we watch these adventure shows, and I think that people should, it's important that you should realize that you're born and then you start this journey, and your journey starts at your birth and it ends at your death. This journey, and then who knows, the experts call for another life after that, but just this earth life is a journey, and people need to realize that, and it's going to have ups and downs, and the more positive you remain during the downs, make the ups way more, and you know, they occur way more to the positive person. I mean, if David Mezepel wasn't positive, how would he have a book out that's going to compete with Chicken Soup of the Soul and The Secret and all those well-read books, you know, without being positive and staying focused on what can happen and going for it?
That's really great. That's really great. For those of you who are just joining us, we're in the studio today with David Martin. He is a contributing author to the book Contagious Optimism: Uplifting Stories and Motivational Advice for Positive Forward Thinking. He will be at the store doing a book signing on Friday, October 25th from 11 to 1 in the afternoon. And you're listening to KRXA 540 AM. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with David Martin of Index Industries Wealth Management. I just want to say a quick hello to my friend Joseph, who's probably cleaning his house listening to the show. Anyone else, just should mention, the show is available to hear on the radio dial at 5:40 a.m. It's also available online. You can live stream going to the website krxa540.com, and you can hear it on Radio Monterey as a podcast. All right. So, David, I hope you're ready, because I have more questions for you. I really want to understand this. I'm a firm believer in optimism in terms of making lemonade. My granddaughter is used to hearing me say, if things aren't going your way and you're getting lemons, let's see how you can make lemonade out of it. And I really believe that that is something that has helped me through my life. My parents were both on their own as teenagers, and they had very challenging, as you might imagine, starts to their lives. But they were very, very much can-do people. You know, they were resourceful, and they really prided themselves on figuring things out and living the best with what they had. So, in the news right now, there is a ton of information about politics, and there's conversations about the possibility of America defaulting on loans to international creditors, and of course, the partial government shutdown. And I would love to hear your take, David, on how to respond to that.
Well, I'll do it in two ways. As an investor and a contrarian, it's created great bad news for the media and created great buying opportunities in a jokingly manner. But the truth is, it's disturbing, and everybody knows that working as a team has always worked out. I know it as whenever I try and run my wealth management business on my own index strategies, it is a much more difficult task on my own than when I can have coworkers and a team approach, because I think a company, a government, a sports team, whatever it is, team always works. And we're not seeing team as citizens. We're seeing, we're not even seeing team within the Republicans. Ooh, that hurt me just saying that word.
I'm so sorry. But I think many people would agree with you. And it's interesting, you know, I'm thinking about what it would be like to be a kid and you hear all these grown-ups tell you don't fight and work things out and get along and work together, and then to listen to the news or watch something on TV about this sort of power struggle in the White House over however serious an issue, the fact that they're not working it out and that they're sort of taking on the bully approach of forcing their way, it's really disheartening. So how to look at that from an optimistic standpoint, I guess, is my...
I think our publisher, Viva Publishing, should overnight a book to both parties of contagious optimism.
Help it along a little bit.
And let both parties get some more optimism about our country, about healthcare, about the future, and stop dwelling on the past and figure out a way to bring down the debt and provide healthcare. If they could just work as, like I said, a team and have more optimism, probably work out.
So the book Contagious Optimism, David, you're referring to some specifics, it sounds like, that they would obviously come across and find that. Are there stories you could share with us that might relate to that?
You know, I don't know if there's a lot of politics in the book.
Uh-huh. But I mean, stories that would, as you said, sort of remind them what this country's about.
Oh, I mean, the whole book's filled with real stories from real people, how they persevered. And if we can persevere as individuals, you know, if we all work together as a team, it's even easier. And
right.
I think that, like, I'm a single guy, 45, and I don't owe any money except, you know, some money on a mortgage on a house in Florida that I rent out. And, you know, that's it. I don't have credit card debt and any other type of debt. And when you look at our country, you know, pushing $17 trillion, and I mean, nobody knows what the word trillion means. You know, that's
it's
the
too
funny
big.
Part.
Yeah.
They can't comprehend how many zeros are in it. If you walk down Main Street in Half Moon Bay, I bet 1 out of 10 would tell you how many zeros are after the one in 1 trillion.
I bet less than that, but you have a good point there. Well, the average person doesn't really deal with trillions. It's academic. I mean, it's just academic. But getting back to your point about team, maybe that's really hitting the nail on the head. I don't know if that is the goal of Washington. It certainly doesn't strike me that way. There's plenty
of... Too much ego.
No, that's fine. There's plenty of examples of what team can do. I mean, we put a man on the moon as a team. And it was even teamwork through other connections with other countries throughout the world. So I'm not sure that that is the goal. I'm not sure the goal is to share the wealth or to share the benefit or to be looking out for everyone, which is part of teamwork.
I mean, if any of you know a politician, you know that ego should be their middle name. So when you get all these egos in a room, you know, with different agendas, you know, it's a problem. You know, they're not all looking at the situation as, you know, let's keep China and Japan and all our major creditors happy and not have a struggle at the top to raise a debt ceiling that you have to raise. I mean, it's funny that the media and all this is about, is America going to pay their bills? I mean, the leader of the world has to pay their bills. It would be funny to be flying these planes around, these delicious planes, you know, that are almost $1 billion a plane, but yet not paying back people who have lent you money in good faith.
To build those planes.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, where's your relationship management with those that have given you their trust. I mean, that's my business. And that's, I mean, I'd like to see our government have a little bit more integrity with, you know, their creditors.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. It's very puzzling. It makes me think that perhaps there's a number of things that we're not aware of that's perhaps the underlying agenda. And I agree with your, you know, your suggestion for optimism to be looking at not so much what we're losing, but what possibilities are there that this shift in market can present to us, whether it's buying a home for a lower amount of price or maybe a lower interest, looking for advantages in living more simply. I know Paul and I are often talking about how to live more simply. We believe in enoughism. My guest, Jerry Maupin, coined a phrase on the show with me that day. Enoughism, he says. I believe in enoughism. We have enough. How much more do you need? And I think that it's really a perception issue. It's a perception issue. You had mentioned, David, when we were off the air, about being raised in a culture of more. Do you want to share that a little bit with our listeners? Because I think that's part of the juxtaposition to being optimistic and working as a team.
That is the greatest question Cynthia could ask me. Let's all take a minute and realize how good her questions are. So as a kid growing up with a beach house, you know, it's not about just being happy. You know, seeing a father trying to accumulate more and more and more was a good role model at that time. But let's all face it, sitting there with your friends and having a glass of wine is more fun than overworking 90 hours a week to get the brand new Tesla. You know, I'd love to have a Tesla, but the reality is I'd rather retire earlier and enjoy hiking when my body still works. And one day it just came to me sitting in the back of a conference room at a Payne Weber office in my 30s. And I realized everybody in front of me had a bald head and gray hair.
Mm.
And I realized I don't want that for me. I don't. A client made me read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad and never look back.
That's very profound. You know, that book has been mentioned more often in that regard than any other I can imagine. But you made a really conscious choice, David, and it sounds like you were tracking what you were seeing in the environment of, you know, money management and decided consciously for yourself that you had different values, perhaps.
Well, I've been doing retirement planning for 20 years. That's my passion, is to help couples and individuals realize what they have in most cases is enough if they position it well and slow down their lifestyle. And you don't have to slow it down. People are scared. Oh, I want to travel. Yeah, but travel in a more efficient way. You don't have to jump on an airplane to a car rental to an overpriced hotel when you can buy a used van and turn it into an RV and start traveling around lovely California, Yosemite, Lake Tahoe. I mean,
once it opens.
Yeah, I think that cheap hobbies is the key to life. And if you want to retire early, start focusing on it now, no matter how old you are. And, you know, just you don't have to have everything.
You don't. And I think the more popular choice of lifestyle these days is to do what you love, whether you retire early or not. I mean, I think about it in terms of my life. I don't plan on retiring early. I plan on doing what I love forever. Like, until my last breath, I want to be doing something meaningful for me. And I feel really good about contributing. I hope that as I get older and my body changes so that I'm not maybe as physically mobile, I will still be contributing. And that's what I like.
So what Cynthia said is an example of passion. When your job is your passion, you're not working. You're enjoying your life. And if you read page 17 of Contagious Optimism, this sentence resonated so well with me, and I want to share it with your listeners.
Yeah, please.
Our talents are directly connected to our passions. I believe it is possible to be gifted in something that you are that you are passionate about. Talents give birth to passions. Because talents are meant to be discovered and put into use. What that means is, a lot of people always ask me, Dave, what are you passionate about? Or what am I passionate about? And I think it's all of us searching for what we are passionate about. But what that just said, which resonates well with me, is what are you really good at? What do you love to do? And if you're really good at something and you love to do it, bing, you've discovered your passion. And I think both of us today are enjoying our passion.
Yeah, this is great. This is great. I love that you shared that quote. Thank you. I wanted to ask you, David, we're in studio today with David Martin. He's the CEO of Index Strategies, Maximizing Passive Income, up in San Francisco, and also a contributing author to the book Contagious Optimism. He will be at the bookstore October 25th. That's a Friday from 11 to 1. I wanted to ask you, how often do you play? I know about your hiking, but is play a big part of optimism?
I do. I think so. Both David Mezepel, the author, and myself think exercise is important every day. And I'll share how we both do it differently, but we both exercise. David likes to wake up every day and either take a walk or a run down the beach with a swim in the Atlantic Ocean in the beautiful Gulf Stream.
Wow.
And if that's not the case, he's going to be kayaking from his house around the Intercoastal Waterway. And I luckily got a chance to do that with him the other day on my trip to Florida to visit my father. One day to show my dad independent living, which is no fun. And the next day to kayak with David Mezepel, Mr. Optimism. So it was both were interesting in their own right, but I'm sure I was more optimistic kayaking.
And you had a question for me.
Yeah, I did. I did a little tour of the West Coast, all the way down to La Jolla, and visited all the independent bookstores. And I don't know if your listeners and the world really appreciate the independent bookstore. The fact that Pilgrim's Way Books in Carmel has been there since 1969 and fought off Amazon, fought off Barnes & Noble, and is a bookstore for the adventurous at heart. And when I read that, I'm an adventurous at heart, and I thought that the secret garden you have there is amazing. And if anybody hasn't been to Pilgrim's Way in Carmel, book your flight. Rent your zip car, get your hiking sneakers on, and get over to that secret garden and either bring your own book or buy a book. And I recommend you buy a book so we can still have these independent bookstores, and sit in the secret garden on a nice sunny afternoon. You'll know why it's called the secret garden.
That's awesome. Thank you, David. Thank you very much.
I loved my visit there, and I got to buy a beautiful Buddha that's now like my brother.
Oh, that's so cool.
Or my leader. And we talk every day, and the advice Buddha's giving me is amazing.
I like that. Maybe we should have kept him. I love it when our little friends get adopted. So, David, you know, I saw online that you organize trips to Europe. Is that right?
No, it must be
another David Martin.
There's a lot of David Martins out there. I'm sure you guys have watched NBC News. But what I do is I organize monthly hikes. That's what is my best skill. And I teamed up with a friend, CJ. We're both from Connecticut, and we always were out hiking. And we took a hike one afternoon with two friends, and one of them had been hiking 40 years in Marin and showed us this back cool, like deer trail, right into the tourist club, which everyone's probably heard of on Mount Tam. It's the Swiss or German drinking club, which is beautiful, beautiful place.
Really?
And from that, we were all sitting there having a beer, enjoying an afternoon hike with a beer. And I said to my friends, I said, I'd love to have a way to take my friends hiking like today. And one of my friends was hipper than I with social networking. And he said, why don't you put it on Facebook?
And the rest is history. So how long have you been doing this?
So that was in September of 2009. And this Sunday, tomorrow, I have to race back up to Marin County, where I'm going to take everybody to the world famous West Point Inn, where I've recently become a member for one of their five or six pancake breakfasts they have every summer.
Wow. So that's at Mount Tam?
It's on Mount Tam, one of our nation's treasures. I don't know if you know about who John Muir and Teddy Roosevelt are.
I've heard of them.
They together they made sure we have Muir Woods, coincidentally named, but Teddy and John saved a lot of the West, and Muir Woods is beautiful, and Mount Tam is one of our, it's right up there with the Golden Gate Bridge when you visit the Bay Area.
It's a beautiful area, and it's one of those open spaces that just take us back to a more peaceful, simple life for sure. So you're one of the volunteers there. Did you say there were 1,000 people?
Yeah, it's the West Point Inn was where they took the they called it the crookedest train in the world. It used to go up Mount Tam, and that's why when you ride your bike up the mountain now, it's called the old railroad grade. And it went up over Mount Tam to this where the wealthy would go and or whoever could get, a ticket on the little train, and it would go over the mountain and down to Stinson Beach. And people forget when they live in San Francisco, they're only 5 or 6 miles to the Pacific Ocean.
That's awesome. So this, if anybody's listening, if you're interested in going, it's tomorrow. At what time does it start?
It's tomorrow, and we leave from the Mountain Home Inn, which is the really cool B&B with a restaurant on Mount Tam. And you'll see us all, getting in the way of traffic, I'm sure. And we'll meet there at, I think it's 10, and it leaves at 10:30.
Okay.
In the morning.
And you're going to hike anywhere from 5 to 12 miles?
Yeah, tomorrow's the shortest hike in years. It's our 39th monthly hike back since September 09. And it's probably an hour up, 45 minutes down. So it's, we average about 2.5 miles an hour with all the kibitzing along the way.
And an intermediate level, you said.
Yeah, I think intermediates can handle it. And, if you love hiking and you like to have fun and be out in nature, it's great. We really like it.
Great. Well, I'm glad to know about that. So we're going to take our second break here, and we'll be back with David Martin on Simple Love that we started about 3+ years ago. And we go out. It's a free group. We meet over in Marina at Ord Market on Imjin Parkway. And we go out for 2 or 3 hours in the morning starting at 8 a.m. because that's when the tracks are fresh. And it's really about nature awareness. I don't know how fast or slow you travel when you're hiking, but naturalists tend to slow down and look at details instead of sort of focus on the destination. But it depends on the individual, don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So for those of you listening, if you want to know about local events, we have our local events on our Facebook page, Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore, or you can go to pilgrimsway.com and click on events for our listing. And so I have a question for you, David. What is a simple life to you? What's your idea of simple life?
Well, what I try and teach my clients is, by cutting your expenses in life and not having to have a new car and keeping up with the Joneses, that's an expensive lifestyle. Doesn't matter how much you make. If you're a plumber, a wealth manager, they probably make the same, or a doctor, you don't have to keep up with your peers. You can save money. Taking a family to Disneyland, you could take your family hiking on Mount Tam. And retire 10 years earlier. So what I've realized is I really like my free time. I value my free time. And that's to me value. I can't swim in a stock certificate, but I can swim in the ocean when I have free time.
That's a really good point. There's a sense of abundance that we have when we are not following a schedule. When we're not in a restrictive kind of environment in our mind. The work that I have experienced through a naturalist group in and around the Santa Cruz area with John Young, I don't know if you know John, but there's a lot of focus on finding the rhythms of nature. And one of those rhythms, because you mentioned to me off the air that you're a bird watcher now.
I am.
So birds are really active in the morning. Like when, before the sun actually comes up, the birds are in chorus and everyone's sort of, I'm imagining, celebrating that they survived the night because, you know, they get picked off in the night. They can't really see. But in the morning, they're alive and they're happy and they're thinking about their day. I'm sure they're optimistic, David.
They are.
But around the middle of the day, it goes quiet.
Yep, like siesta.
It's siesta time or it's chill time or something. Maybe they do their daydreaming during the middle of the day. And there's slower activity in the afternoon. And then before the sun goes down, you hear a more milder version of that dawn chorus. You hear a lot of what I would imagine is gratitude for their day of life, you know, for everything that they didn't count on happening that kept them alive one more day.
That says it all. I hope everyone caught that. You know, stop watching the reality show to the right and pay attention, because what she just said is very important. That is very important. The word gratitude. So many years ago, I ran the VIP area at a big rock concert, and everybody had to cross through our camp to go to the bathroom. And I wanted to stop them on the way there, because we all know how we're in a rush to go to the bathroom. And they had to step on my little plastic white step, which we named the gratitude stage, and tell everyone watching what they were grateful for.
I love it.
And I like to bring it when I do stand up and stand on it, not because I'm 5'4 and 3/4 and it adds 9 inches.
No,
so
not
I'm
at all.
Finally average height. But because it's in life, it's all about being grateful. And, you know, I had a friend beat cancer, a very serious cancer. And, you know, what it is if you appreciate what you have and you feel like you're living in a life of abundance, you've already won. You're already happy. If you feel like you need all these other things, you're constantly going to be in that rat race. So you have to realize, do you want to be in the rat race or do you want to be happy? And that's as simple as it is. Like you said, the simple life. Let's, come on, guys, make it simple. You know, when I accumulated wealth when I was younger, it actually made my life more complicated because I kept buying boats and second cars, and that made life more complicated. So now instead of a second car, I treated myself and I went out and bought a second pair of sneakers.
And you walk places more often, I would imagine.
I do. I love to walk. And, you know, living in the city, back to birding, because I don't want to let that roll by with another tangent, is that I live in the city in a penthouse and I overlook the whole thing, the whole rat race. I hear the sirens, the buses. But then there's birds on this tree. And it's created my birding. And it's now a major hobby of mine to sit on my balcony and look left at the downtown city lights or city during the day and look to my right and see the birds. And like you said, the middle of the day, they're just relaxing on a branch.
Yeah. Yeah. Simple life to me is a little bit about living simply, living with your needs met, but not expecting everything that's a heart's desire or an impulse to equal a need, a true need. And that exercise brings a lot of gratitude for me because, frankly, you know, we all have enough. And whether we own anything or not, whether we know where our money's going to come from tomorrow, we have relationships and we have heart connections with people who know us, who care about us. And there's no limit to the possibility when that is present. I think that the humanitarianism includes caring for people you don't know very well. And you just have an appreciation for the sacredness or the value of life itself. And so simple life to me is really more of a perception, being able to look through the daily grind that you have or the daily routines that you have and identifying how natural or where the baseline is, where the foundation of your world is, and starting with that connection and working up. And it includes for me eating simply, you know, That seems to be the healthiest part, is when you go to the grocery store and you take your cart around the outside perimeter of the grocery store where things are actually natural. And all the stuff in the middle, I don't know, do you shop in the middle, David, or around the outside? Because the outside is the produce and the dairy and the meat and, of course, the florist, if you choose that.
It's funny that you say that, because I actually write some stand-up comedy about how each aisle in Whole Foods, you can meet different people.
Oh, different kinds of people?
Different kind of people based on the aisle. But I do. I like to hang around the produce because I like yoga girls, nice, healthy, happy people. And there they are eating vegetables, you know.
Good way to meet a girl.
I mean, think about the saying. Like you said, simple life. I mean, the saying is, you are what you eat. So think about when you drive by those cows just grazing away in Texas, then you stop and get a, you know, hamburger, you know, versus, and you know, eating organic vegetables and eating healthy. I mean, I don't know. I'd rather be a cucumber than a cow.
You are. That's great. Well, cucumbers are more cool.
Right. That's right. And they're in smoothies.
Right.
There's no cow in a smoothie.
That's so true. Thankfully, there's no cow in the smoothie. So, David, I like to ask my guests, because this show, Simple Life, is sponsored in part by Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Secret Garden. What is your favorite book of all time? Can you tell us your favorite book of all time?
Well, can I say Contagious Optimism?
You certainly can.
No, I'm humble.
Okay.
My sister says the perfect man is a very humble man.
Okay, well.
So, is it Reggie Jackson Superstar? No.
No, not that one.
I would have to say, for my business, which I have already said earlier, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but me as a person and what's created my big shift in my life. And I read it in 2005 when I was living in Naples, Florida, and I realized I had made an unoptimistic decision to go help my father run his business when he was in his 70s and probably should have retired in his 50s. But anyway, so I just kept him going, kept the business going. You know, tried to make relationships, I'm sure, with some of his clients, which wasn't going well. And I read a book called Shine, S-H-I-N-E. And it, I mean, if anybody wants to stop what they're doing and figure out why they're here, in the book Shine, it's, you know, it's definitely a self-help book to the 10th degree. And in it, it makes you write your obituary.
That's a very interesting exercise.
That changed my life, reading. And they give you Frank Sinatra's 8-page obituary you write your one paragraph.
Uh-huh.
No, not to put, yours is much bigger.
Oh, no.
Mine was one paragraph.
Oh, God.
So that's why there's these four titles, Hiking Club, Comedian, all this,
there
because
you go.
Of the book Shine.
Oh, that's nice. I'll have to look at that. And what are you reading now besides Contagious Optimism?
I'm still working my way through. I'll be honest with all, I haven't finished every single. It's a lot of 3-page chapters.
Yeah.
I'm 90% through. And, you know, every day I wake up, or not every day, but some days I wake up in a bad mood. And I just feel like a positive attitude is what I want to bring to the table. And just thumbing through this book is really, you know, it's a great way to get psyched, I like to put it, you know. And it's not watching bad news to feel better about yourself. It's actually reading stories of people who, you know, had tough times, got psyched, and it worked. And, you know, not to plug the book again, but it really gives me a lot of insight on being optimistic and how much it can change your life.
And David Martin, one of the co-authors of the book Contagious Optimism, will be at the Pilgrim's Way Bookstore on October 25th. That's a Friday. He'll be there signing books 11 to 1 that day. So please drop on by, meet him yourself. He's a great guy, and take a look at his book. I think you will like it. It's a great book.
So how long have you had the Secret Garden?
You know, the Secret Garden has been part of our business for about as long as I've been with the bookstore. It actually literally started to become part of our bookstore the same year I came on board. And I've always thought it's really interesting because, you know, girls garden and boys write and read books. It's very stereotypical, and I apologize for that. But there is sort of a generality yin-yang energy or type of activity there. And with the garden coming the same year I did, I found it to be a demonstration of the balance that Paul and I bring to each other.
No, the garden just it to make the garden shows your optimism.
Thank you. The garden is something that changes, and it's on its own, evolving all the time. Anyone who has a garden knows that a garden is never finished. And so I encourage all locals, if you don't know about the garden, wander through and enjoy the space that we provide.
Instead of a cafe in the middle of the bookstore serving, you know, sugary muffins and terrible coffee, it's actually really, it's a beautiful place. And it'll help you really start to enjoy nature while you're in the middle of Carmel.
Absolutely.
Beautiful place.
You know, it's so delightful spending this time with you, David. I so appreciate your contribution and your upbeat nature that you bring to the world that you're part of. And want to thank you for being a guest on Simple Life Radio.
Oh, I want to thank you, Cynthia. And I think this was the 1 hour filled with some of the best questions anyone's ever asked me.
And that's a compliment.
Felt like really cool to answer them.
Oh, that's so great.
That's fun.
Well, I hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend. And for all of the listeners out there, thank you so much for listening. Be back here with me next Saturday. I'll be here with you on Simple Life Radio, KRXA, 540 AM. Life. Stay with us.